Hello, guys, gals, non-binary pals, RPG bosses, anachronistic NPCs, and other. Welcome to the Sci-Fi Lab. I'm your host, DJ Squared, and my co-host is not here today, but with me is my special guest.
Hi, I'm John.
Yes, he is John. He is a fellow labster, but we'll get to what he does in a little bit. So, every time we have somebody new on the show, we have some general interview questions that we go through, so we'll just jump on right into that. So what was your either very first or most impactful experience with science fiction?
Jeez.
Yeah, we're rolling out the heavy questions.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's always, like, an interesting question just because, I mean, like, you know, I feel like after, like, the 1920s, it's, like, at some point, or, like, you know, some point in, like, the 19-something times, like, the science fiction had diffused, so, like, to such a point where it's, like, it was just kind of there, right? Like, weirdly, like, I think, because, like, I feel like, this is a big one, but, like, you know, I feel like I knew Vader was Luke's father before I even, like, saw Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I don't even, like, remember, like, where I even got that, and I don't even know, so, like,
yeah,
I would say, because, like, I can't, so there's no I'm remembering first,
yeah.
is the answer I'll put there. I guess, like, most impactful, it's probably Halo. Halo 3 was, like, a big deal, which, like, you know, it's not, maybe not the deepest of science fiction, maybe not the, like, you know, most, like, you know,
like, listen, we're all somewhere on the skiffy train.
Yeah, exactly. No, and, like, that's, I await the day where someone comes in here and, like, I just saw Sharknado, and I knew it, and I, you know, from there was Left Hand of Darkness, really, like, you know, it was like,
I want to try to convince Lisa to teach Sharknado.
I mean, you could put that in postmodernism at some point it kind of is. Maybe not a great example,
so
but an example. Regardless, yeah, no, so, I mean, Halo 3 was a big deal for me. I didn't get into games with, like, Nintendo. I got in pretty late. I mean, Xbox 360 era was when I was, like, into games, and that, like, for a 22 I am now, for being 22, that's actually, I think, kind of rare. Usually, people my age, I know, like, most people get into games with, like, you know, I think in my age usually got around, like, the Nintendo era, maybe, like, GameCube. Me was much later. So getting Halo, which is this, like, massive event, I think, it was just amazing. Like, I mean, Halo, it might not be, like, the deepest, but it is, I think, enthusiastic, which I think is, frankly, that's, like, and that, like, for me, defines a lot of what I like about science fiction. Like, when people, like, you could hear the voice actors. Like, sometimes, you watch some science fiction, and you're like, they don't care, do they? Like, or, like, you know, they're getting a paycheck, or, like, whatever. But, like, these guys, when you hear them talk, they're great. I mean, like, I can't, you know, like, listening to the villain, he's, like, the most one-dimensional, I just want to, like, destroy, like, not destroy the universe, he's a religious zealot, but he doesn't realize he's destroying the universe. Not to explain the story of Halo, but basically, very one-dimensional, all, like, the, like, good guys are like, I'm just trying to save the day, and, like, whatever, but, like, they're really good about it. They're just really fun, and it is a story that knows what it is. It knows that, like, for most of this 8 hours or whatever, you're shooting stuff, not necessarily listening, which, you know, I think isn't the height of what I want games to be, but that is something, like, when I was younger, that was something that was, like, incredible. Even now, I go back to them, like, this has such a clarity of purpose, such, you know, like, a, just, like, an exuberance for itself that I think that...
You gotta love things that know what they are and revel in it.
Yeah. Now, arguably, I think, not to get too far ahead of myself, but, like, when I will probably eventually play a Halo game on a stream that I'm running, like, that's coming up in a bit.
Stay tuned!
But, like, when I talk about it, in some sense, maybe knowing what it is and reveling in it can be a bad thing. Like, in Halo, it's reveling in military, you know, kind of fascism, right? Like, and it's doing it in such a way that, like, most science fiction does, where it's like, okay, well, there's a bad guy, just take it as granted, right? You know, like, it's okay if all the military is, like, you know, centralized and hoorah and all about shooting, because, incidentally, so are the enemies, right? Like, so...
It's fine that we're a military state. Don't worry about it.
It's also really weird, like, when you read the lore. So, like, oftentimes the lore will actually, like, try to get into, like, oh, yeah, it's run by, like, a fascist, you know, like, kind of, not, like, just fascist, like, authoritarian bureaucracy thing. And, like, that never comes up in the game. So it's, like, I don't know, it's, like, you're playing propaganda, but then you, like, read this other stuff, and you're, like, I don't know. Like, why are we okay with
this? We're all playing propaganda. Listen, none of us are immune to propaganda. None of you are immune to propaganda.
We save the time. Yeah, no. Yeah,
don't worry about it.
Yeah, no. So, it, like, I think, like, not to, like, say, like, no, you can't have fun ever. Like, you do, like, it's bad to shoot all the time, because, boy, do I like shooting in video games all the time. But, like, yeah, no, I think there's a, like, a bit of a weirdness. Like, I think, like, even, like, later on when I saw something like Starship Troopers, which, by the way, I was shown that film when I was, like, I was way too young to have seen that film where a guy gets his brain sucked out through his head, like, viscerally. Like, I was saw it at a camp thing. The camp counselor was like, yeah, let's do it. Like, this movie's gonna be great. You're gonna love this. It was great, regardless.
Yikes.
That film, at least, you know, like, it's all about the shooting. It's, like, crazy. It revels in it. But then at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, this is a satire. This is ridiculous that this is happening. Regardless, that's a whole thing.
Different kettle of worms.
Different, okay. Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Okay. So, do you have a favorite subgenre of science fiction?
Boy, I mean, I, like, probably cyberpunk. I mean, like, if that's, like, you know, subgenre enough. Yeah. Yeah.
All of the punks are subgenres.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, that's what I thought, yeah. I mean, at some point, yeah. Okay, no, that makes sense. Yeah, but, so I think cyberpunk is probably my favorite just because I like the grittiness of it. I like, usually the characters, I don't like characters who are, like, good people. I don't like characters who are just, like, who know what the right thing is. That, to me, is usually bad. Like, this is why I don't like superhero films oftentimes. I don't like it where, like, oh, I don't, like, where either, like, there's one, the one, usually the superhero's fine for the most part that, like, has this one moral hang-up, and, like, that's, like, they're built around that.
Yeah.
Or, like, they're a Superman, and they know the right way, however the right thing, you know, is, like, just hard to achieve. The thing is, I never like it when there is the right thing, right? Because the notion of there being a right thing is, well, dependent on whoever wrote it, right?
Yeah.
So, and this is why I like cyberpunk, in that, like, they don't pretend. They're all jerks. They're all degenerates. Maybe it revels in it too much. And obviously, this is not to say that, like, there isn't a moral framework to cyberpunk. You know, that kind of, like, superhero movies has. I recently read a very, like, a feminist deconstruction of a lot of what William Gibson did, and, like, it, you know, kind of regurgitates a lot of the rugged individualism, the, like, Reaganite kind of politics of, you know, like, you're a man, you're an individual, you're literally, you know, like, just, well, very, it gets very sexual, a lot of sexual imagery with regards to hacking into things, let's say.
Yeah.
And, you know, not to, like, again, you know, like, again, still like cyberpunk, maybe weird things going on in some context or as scaffolding to it. But, you know, I like how ridiculous, you know, like, how grungy, I love noir, I love just dark, textural things that you can you look at it and you can feel it. If you read it, you can feel it, right? I don't know. I guess that would be, yeah.
Yeah.
To conclude, yes.
To conclude, yes. Yeah, no. I get what you mean, though. Like, if there's ever a character that says they're doing things for the greater good, they are immediately on my suspect list and shall be moved to my shit list very expediently. Yeah. Like, that's a one-way ticket to my shit list.
And, you know, so, like, I mean, like, reading, like, when I read Neuromancer, I like how, like, the protagonist, like, his moral hang-ups is that basically, I mean, it's not much so much a moral hang-up so much as he hates himself, and, like, that's the, like, the central thing. Like, that I can relate to.
I mean, yeah.
And it's, so, like, to me, that's, like, more than, like, oh, I'm Wonder Woman and I need to do the right thing, but gosh darn it, are people just mean sometimes? Like, you know, I feel like there's a more complex way of doing this. This is why, you know, generally I stay away from, like, the, grand superhero-esque sort of science fiction. as much fun as it is to sit and watch a spectacle.
Like, yeah. All
right, well, at the end of the day.
Yeah. I mean, that's valid.
Yeah.
I'm currently looking at... I refound a list of all of the punks.
Oh.
All the different types of punks.
There are a lot of great punks. I love Splatterpunk. That's a great name. I think that's like bio... Like,
no, biopunk is something different.
Biopunk, and then there's, but like, splatter is like, but it's like grosser version of that.
Yeah, splatterpunk is specifically, it's about, you know, blood and gore, and it's trying to, it's sort of like one of those things that's like railing against, like, I guess, oh gosh, this is a poor way to put it, but like PC culture, you know, where everything's like sanitized.
Certainly, countercultural, especially, like, you know, back in the, in the 60s was against,
Yeah, you know, showing actual gore on TV and stuff.
Exactly. Man, what was that? There was like one where a guy tries to like turn himself into like an iron person. I forget what that was. It was like a Japanese film. It's like disgusting.
Yeah.
Because he has like an iron fetish. That's what it was. Like, it's gross. I forget the name of it. It just sounded great.
And then you watch it and you're just like, oh. Oh, no.
No. I go like, yes. I love that stuff. I love like the Hellraisers. Oh, I especially love anything pretty much by Clive Barker. He goes hardcore into like just the gory, weird, like the weird gory sexual things is where Clive Barker likes to reside, and that's also where I do sometimes.
Yeah. So yeah, no, biopunk is something different. It's more like...
It's like a future where, like...
You're hacking DNA.
Yeah.
Hacking photosynthesis.
I mean... It was like, Jeff Vandermeer. Yeah, that his kind of stuff.
Yeah. So there's biopunk, there's bug punk, there's deco punk, nanopunk.
Yeah.
Clock punk. I do love clock punk.
Wait, what is clock punk?
It's like, steampunk, but even further backwards. Like, instead of the Industrial Revolution, clockpunk is everything. It's like the Renaissance.
Okay. Oh, is that because like, clocks were like the big deal?
Clockwork.
Okay.
Everything is clockwork.
Interesting.
Everything's clockwork, like, but steampunk. Without. Yeah, like the thing is that it's clockwork, but without like the steam engine and stuff.
But like, how does it run? I guess just like gravity, because that's all.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you do, right? You have to like wind up the clock. That's all. That's all they had.
It's all mechanical stuff. So yeah, it's basically steampunk, but based on the works of Leonardo da Vinci.
Okay,
so,
I got you. I feel like da Vinci is like less clock, more like. I feel like it would be screw punk, like, you know, the screw little.
The corkscrew helicopter. Stuff, yeah. But, I mean, like.
I don't know.
That doesn't sound as good.
Yeah, no, I got you.
It's fine. Tesla punk.
Classic.
Yes. I love how this one webpage, I'm probably going to link it in the description of this video, the page is called Punk Punk, a compendium of literary punk genres.
Wait, what? Okay, to the website. I thought there was an actual punk punk subgenre, which was
I mean, there might have been.
There should be a punk punk subgenre, which is just punk of, built of subgenres of punk.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
It's fine.
Yeah.
No, punk punk would be... going against all of the things that were sort of written in a cyberpunk style, but did not actually have the underlying themes of punk.
Mm. Okay.
You know, things that are trying to be punk but aren't, because they have the sections for the established punk genres, which is, you know, cyberpunk, steampunk, diesel punk. The semi-established, which would be biopunk, and...
There needs to be more diesel punk.
There does need to be more diesel punk.
Because I feel like... Now, like, for me, I've never, like... Steampunk is okay, I just feel like it's all really played out.
Maybe it's because we're living in a diesel punk hellscape right now.
That's true, but, like, a bit more, like, you know, maybe a bit, like, dustier, a bit, like, you know, I really... So, like,
so more like a cattle punk, but diesel punk.
Yeah, maybe. That's I don't know, like, Tree, like, Star Wars is sort of like a diesel punk-esque, just like a very, like, industrial, but, like, really big machines, like, in a dusty place. Oftentimes, like, when I see the diesel punk aesthetic, it's, like, I don't know, like, very metal, very, like, just everything metal, and I like that.
Yeah, it's, like, not quite, like, it's not quite as chrome as cyberpunk, but it's also not quite as bronze as steampunk is.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's kind of like, because it's kind of like, take it, because, you know, cyberpunk is very much based on, like, at least Gibson stuff, or, you know, like, westerns, like, cowboys and whatnot. Dieselpunk is like, okay, let's actually acknowledge that more in the setting, right? Where,
yeah,
you know, cyberpunk is set more in, this is going to be a big city, it's concrete, you know. Whereas dieselpunk is like, all right, it's going to be kind of somewhere else.
Like Frontierland.
Frontierland, it's going to be more explicitly cowboy. I feel like, I don't know, at least what I've seen.
Yeah. There is cattlepunk. Sure. Cattlepunk is a thing. It's under the ridiculous section.
Is everything made of cows? Or like, what is this?
I don't even know. Okay, well, it's like steampunk, but Wild West.
Okay.
Wild West steampunk, you know.
The Wild Wild West, that movie.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ocean punk, which is like, classic. Which, you know, pirates.
Yep.
Lobster punk.
What?
I mean, that's not actually
okay.
A thing, but it's on the list because it's funny.
And look, crustacean-based technology is...
it's the wave of the future, yeah. Okay? No, like, crustacean-based technologies would be in biopunk, because we're currently looking for the secret to immortality via lobsters. There's your lobster fact for today, for the people who remember the last episode.
Yeah, no, I feel like they're just their homeostasis. I don't remember what, like, lobsters do. They just don't do much, is the thing. Maybe. I don't remember.
They live until something else kills them.
Yeah.
Or they do not have enough energy to pull themselves out of their shell.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah. And then there's jellyfish, which we don't even know what those things are.
Don't worry about it.
Did you read the thing where it's like jellyfish that have been sent into space? The jellyfish that have been sent into space, like, jellyfish hate life on Earth comparative to living in space.
I mean, hey.
Yeah, we've just been blasting jellyfish into space for however long.
I mean, who wouldn't blame them? I mean, like, you know, or who would blame them? Yeah.
Yeah, so that's just all sorts of weird. All right. I think last question before we get to why you're actually here is, do you have any recommendations for the audience?
Yeah, so I've read a lot of Ursula Le Guin recently, and so just all of that. So I read, very recently, I read The Dispossessed and The Left Hand of Darkness, both of which are excellent novels. The Left Hand of Darkness is like, I've never read a novel before where I've, like, gotten to a chapter where I've, like, wanted to get to the end of the chapter because I was so horrified as to what was happening in this chapter, but I was so, like, engrossed in it that I couldn't stop. I don't know. Like, it was a weird feeling. The Left Hand of Darkness is...
like, you sort of wanted to put it down, but you couldn't bring yourself to put it down, and you're just like, oh.
Yeah, well, like it's weird because, like, normally I'm not normally super emotional, like, with regards to media. Like, normally, you know, like, if it's, like, super, you know, like, if there's a moment in the movie where you're supposed to cry, like, maybe I'll, like, shed a tear or whatever, or at least I'll, like, tear up a bit. But, like, when it comes to, like, books, I'm never, like, oh, no, what's gonna happen? Like, you're not, like, turning a page being, like, nearly horrified. This one I was. I mean, it was, like, it's, I actually don't even want to spoil it, like, by giving it a description. It's just a horrific description of, people being taken to prison, and just in the worst possible way, possibly inspired by concentration camp testimonials or whatever. I don't know, but like, let's just say that like, it was horrific but emotional, and the whole thing. I mean, Ursula Le Guin can marry like very high, like highfalutin science fiction, very conceptual worlds that like seem to have like, you know, very informed by like politics of the land. You understand like that they have a language, you understand that they have a people, a culture, and like that it works, it's different from ours, but like you believe it very much so compared to other things where it's like, where it seems a lot of other science fiction seems to kind of hand wave it, where it's like, okay, like we need the aliens to function in this regard, don't worry about how it functions on the back end, because you probably wouldn't, right? So we need the Klingons to be super angry all the time and just super combative. Would that work as a government? Could they even, like, be spacefaring? Don't worry about it, they're fine. They got there. Now, granted, like, later, I think Trek's kind of, like, explained that better. But Le Guin just knows how to make this world work. But on top of that, she knows exactly how to contextualize it in an emotional sense. And I feel like a lot of things don't get this far. Even if you get, like, a cool world-building thing going on, I feel like you get this a lot in games. Where the games, like, everyone's like, oh, man, just check out the lore. Check out the lore is super cool. The story might have been terrible, but, like, check out the lore. I'm like, okay, I don't care, right? Like, for me, it's, if you say that there's good lore, I mean, like, I'm not going to say you're wrong. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. But oftentimes, it seems that the creator didn't know how to bring it in a way that, like, would matter to me, in a way that, like, was affectively satisfying, gripping, or horrifying, right? Like, they're, like, it has this, like, weird dynamic where, like, I don't know, like, even, like, Dark Souls is a classic example in games where, like, just horrific stuff happened in the past where, like, crazy eldritch horrors and, like, insane religious figures are doing, like, weird magic and, like, turning everyone hollow and, like, zombies and whatever. But, like, you get there, and obviously the game world is beautiful and everything, but, like, the main campaign is, you know, like, there's barely anyone. You talk to people a bit, but, like, it's not nearly as talky, not nearly as, I would say, like, for me, I never got out of it the same thing as reading this chapter in this in The Left Hand of Darkness. It was just, for as, like, horrifying and bleak as Dark Souls may be, it just never gets to, like, this abject horror of just people being locked in a, you know, in a prison container heading off to, you know, like, a prison camp. It's, I don't know. I mean, like, there are really no other words to describe it other than the ones that she used. So, it's great, so read it. if you feel like being real sad at some point. The rest of the book is really happy. There's, like, it's really interesting. I'm actually surprised at how, like, basically in the beginning of the novel, you know that the protagonist is going to succeed because, like, it says, in the past, this happened. Like, it's pretty well established, but, like, you don't know how they succeed, in what condition, like, what happens to people they know, right? It's, I don't know, it makes a story that's, like, not about getting this MacGuffin, right? Because the MacGuffin is already gotten, you know it. But then it somehow makes it, like, so much more compelling than anything that, like, even tries to, like, oh, you have to blow up the Death Star. It makes it so much more compelling than that. But yeah, I guess that's my long-winded explanation of why I should read Le Guin, specifically Left-Hand of Darkness.
Yeah. All right. And as for why you're actually here today,
yes,
like, this was just a hilarious aside.
Before, yeah, oof. I just happened to walk by, and I'm here to shill my Twitch stream.
Yeah.
So, as a science fiction fellow here at the Sci-Fi Lab, I have been tasked with creating a science fiction game stream. Basically, the idea, I was told that. Dr. Yaza came to me and was like, hey, do you like games? I'm like, yes. And then she's like, cool, can you do a stream? I'm like, sure. And so I kind of came up with the idea. We're trying to figure out what this kind of means. Thus far, the idea is I will be playing games and I'll be trying to talk about how science fiction they are related to other works of science fiction, try to critically analyze it. This is not something new to games. There is sort of a pedagogy out there. However, not so much one on Twitch. And even the pedagogy existing for games is kind of thin. Doing research for games is hard, even, like, citing games. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had to, like, cite a game in an essay? Like, nobody knows how. Like, you can just, like, thus far I put the title. I put, like, the developer, and then I put, like, a year. Like, that's, like, all you can do.
Yeah, it's like citing a YouTube video or something.
Yeah.
You might need to.
Yeah.
But you don't know how.
Yeah, nobody has, again, academia simply hasn't had the eye on it enough to be like, cool, we have an official way of doing it. Here's how they say to do it. Here's this. Because, like, you know, in film, right?
Here's how you do it in multiple citation styles.
Exactly. Like, and in film, like, you get, like, a director, right? Do games get a director? Because they have creative directors, but, like, and, like, They have different acting. In fact, they probably have several directors, right? Because they have directors of different things. I don't know, like, who do you kind of attribute to things, right? Right now, we only do developers. Is that okay? I mean, like, you know, talking about that's more like of the politics side of what, like, what should we do for attribution? But, like, I always think that's interesting that I don't know. Should I? Is it better to actually attribute something to a developer rather than an individual? Like, you know, it's weird, but, like, again, the point is nobody knows how. Regardless, part of my deal is I want to run this Sci-Fi Lab stream in such a way where can I think of, like, a modern way of doing research for games? Or, like, can I, like, find a modern way of looking at this modern medium to try to, like, I don't know, get some meaning out of it? Because oftentimes nobody looks at games critically. It is very hard to find secondary sources on games that aren't like, hey, look at this, you know, look at it like this multiplayer game has this weird cultural phenomenon. You get like the psychological aspect of it. Very rarely do you get like, hey guys, let's talk about like the thematic implications of this, of like actually within the game itself. There's no deconstruction, I would say, right? Like there's no internal like analysis of games. Very, very little of it.
Yep. And especially not genre specific.
Yes.
If people are going to be talking about games, they're going to be talking about the technical aspects, they're going to be talking about story, they aren't going to be talking about the connection to the genre as a whole.
And this is something that I've noted, right? Because I subscribe to many video game, you know, like YouTubers or like not so many Twitch streamers, but on the YouTube side, which is like probably the biggest form of like, you know, form of critique for games, just because again, it's not very much in writing or in academia yet.
Yeah.
But like most of the stuff in games is going to be, all right, here's game mechanics. Okay. Here's like how to make a good stealth game. Here's how like, you know, Zelda did like really good level design in this instance. Here's how like, you know, XYZ happened mechanically. Very rarely do they like break it down. Like it seems almost like, which is not to say that mechanics aren't important, because they are. That's like the new thing of the forum. You should like talk about it. But like very rarely does it seem very critical. And by critical, I don't mean like critique or like, you know, to be not like in the sense of constructive criticism, but critical in the sense that like looking at it in terms of a broader cultural perspective. Like critical in the sense that like, you know, like a literary essayist looks at things critically. It's not that they're providing criticism. It is broadly critical. I don't know the terms for this. I'm sure Lisa does. But point being, very rarely is it like, let's try to like correlate this and put it into a broader cultural perspective. I know a few that do. Especially this certainly doesn't happen on Twitch. Twitch is more of an entertainment-based kind of thing. And more like personality-based. Now the reality is, this stream where I'm trying to like put academia into like Twitch streaming, probably not going to be the most fun. Probably not going to like draw like the biggest audience. Like I'm not going to be like screaming or like having, you know, being super, I don't know, ecstatic possibly. I don't know. But I wanted to see, is there a way to like present more complex ideas in a more entertaining way, in a way that's like immediate, direct, that people can just kind of tune into? Because I think Twitch is on the rise in like different forms, because like obviously I think Twitch is still growing right now in terms of viewership, just as more games come out, more people are realizing that they can watch this stuff on Twitch. But even like I've noticed recently there's been a push on Twitch for like politics, and this is like more in the realm of political punditry. Now obviously that has an audience, like an established one, more so than like academic critique. No one's going out there looking for like, oh, I would like to read Death of the Author. Nobody just does that necessarily. But I wondered, is there a way to like kind of make this critique fun? Like, can I put this out in a way that's insightful, but like you can just kind of sit there and absorb it, right? I mean, now, you know, in terms of like information density, in like 3 hours of watching me, you might not get as much as you would in like a lecture of class. And in fact, I don't think you should. But the idea is, is it possible to kind of like seed information throughout a stream such that like you're kind of gaining tidbits like very slowly, but since you're watching like 3 hours, possibly like two times a week or whatever, you're getting something substantive. And I don't know, that's something I'm trying to figure out. Part of this whole thing, it is a research project that I'm running. I'm actually getting class credit to do a Twitch stream. Guys, LMC is great. humanities is a great area of study, incidentally. They'll get you to do it. They'll give you money, in fact, to run a Twitch stream, and they'll give you class credit for it. It's crazy. But yeah, so I'm just trying to figure out, like, is there a way to do this? And, like, you know, I have different ways of doing it. I think, like, so tonight, not on the stream, so, or not on, by the time it gets to you, so this will be, like, last Thursday for you guys.
Yeah.
Tonight I'll be trying, so I'll be playing Apex Legends, a Battle Royale, and I'll be talking about the movie Battle Royale and also the book it's based on. Just trying to, like, talk about how it evolved, how it took this, you know, critique of fascist ideology, pitting kids to, like, kill each other, that whole narrative, and how that got transformed into the genre, the game genre of Battle Royale that we know now, you know, in terms of taking that from, it went from the, like, you know, the Battle Royale to, like, the like, Hunger Games, which is more of an American thing, which kind of turned into PUBG, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, to Fortnite, to Apex Legends, which is what I'm playing now, and seeing, well, like, how did the transfer of this very politically charged, very politically critical piece get turned into something that was more consumer-friendly, something that, like, is entertaining on, like, a constant basis, you know, like, I think it's a very interesting notion that, like, you have a film that is about kids being horrified, having to kill each other because their fascist government literally is so apathetic and practically suicidal. I mean, basically all the, if you'll note, it's very common for the adults in that story to, like, just want to kill themselves because, like, they just don't know what to do. So they're just sending their kids to this, they're just sending kids to this island to kill each other because they think, like, if you guys have the discipline to do this, you'll something, right? Like, there's, like, dialogue, and it's, like, I mean, I think an adult says, what am I supposed to do in this situation? Because they just don't know, and, like, nobody has an answer for them. But how do you take that and be like, hey, Fortnite, get some skins, which, you know, like, not to say that, like, Fortnite is, like, particular, like, not to say it's, like, offensive to me that, like, they took, you know, Battle Royale, like, the, you know, like, the concept of Battle Royale and turned it into, like, a game, but, like, what does it mean to do that? Like, what do you lose and what do you gain? Because I think you gain something, right? Like, look, I'm having fun doing it. Like, I would not be doing this if I was not having fun. But I think that's an interesting area of inquiry. But I guess going forward, like, the idea is I'll play some classic science fiction games. I'll be playing some indie science fiction games. So, like, in the classics, I'll talk about, like, okay, like, why is this, like, a big deal for science fiction and video games? Why? And then, like, for the indie games, it's like, well, I'll just kind of go in blind, see, like, okay, like, what is this doing? Like, you know, usually I'll try to get some indie games that are, like, doing something cool or interesting that are, like, that's, like, new in the genre, that I think even indie games are more primed to do than, like, the big AAA, big budget spectacles. But yeah, so I'm just kind of feeling it out. That's basically what I'm doing. I don't know. Much like the parents, I don't know. we're figuring it out. Hopefully I won't end up sending kids to a murder island, but you know,
I don't think you have the funds to do that.
Hey, look, you know what, LMC pays me a decent amount to get the stream up and running. You know, maybe more, they'll get me to, like, you know, give me like an airship and then we'll just drop some kids somewhere in the Philippines or something. I don't know.
And on that rather disturbing note, I think we're gonna end it off here. Okay. So I'm DJ.
I'm John,
and this has been the Sci-Fi Lab. Thanks for listening.